We begin the Kara Davin Zels Ksubis Dav Chaf. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous stuff. And that is, the Gemara on the bottom of Amud Beis, on Daf Yates, quoted a Braisa, very similar to our Mishnah, just different in the sense of that, although we say that when witnesses say, these are our Ksavidam, these are our signatures, but we were Anusim, but we were Psulim, but we were Ketanim, then they're believed, based on the principle of Peshas or Peshahet. Similarly, if other witnesses are verifying their signatures, because those witnesses are actually dead, and then they say, but they were Anusim, they were Ketanim, they were Psulim, they're believed. However, if Ksavyad Mitzim Makam Achar, then they're not Nemanim. Again, similar to the previous Mishnah, but the Gemara asked, even if they're Ksavyadam Yetzim Makam Achar, and therefore they don't have the principle of Peshas or Peshahitr, but still it should be Trey or Trey. You have the two witnesses that are signed in the document saying that this thing happened, and you have the two other witnesses that are saying it didn't happen. In other words, not halachically, not legally anyway, because they were Anusim, they were Ketanim, they were Psulim. So therefore, how could you go ahead and collect with such a document, although that it's not proven either way, but it should be at least Trey or Trey? So Rav Shesh is inferred from there that actually, so you see, Hakrash is Tchilas Zamahi, meaning that having one group of witnesses contradict another one, it's similar in a certain sense to Hazama. And just like Hazama, when you're punishing a certain pair of witnesses by what they're claiming to that someone else is liable for, actually they're liable for because they actually weren't there, which is the principle of Hazama, Hakrash is like that. And just like Hazama has to be in front of the people, so too Hakrash has to be in front of the people. And you can't refute witnesses that are dead, just like you couldn't do Hazama to them. So then actually you're not believed at all. And that's why it's not Trey Trey. And that's why you actually could go out and collect with such a document. Now Rav Nachman refuted that because he said, how could that be? If they would be around, they'd be refuted. And maybe they'd even agree. So when they're dead, you can't do Hakrash. So rather, Rav Nachman said, you're right, it is Ukitrei Labahadi Trey. When we said that they're not Nemanim, what we meant to say was that we will not rip up the document based on what they're saying on Nusim Ayinu. You're right, you can't collect with that. So therefore, yes, the Leiva is not going to have to pay, but the halachic significance is that if, let's say, the Malva would grab money, then we'd say whoever it is Uki Mimayinu B'chazik Yismari, they get to hold onto it. Because Trey basically means to say it's like a stalemate, and whoever has it, it's status quo. Now that's different than if we would say that it's you rip it up. In other words, when there's, let's say, a Pesha Asa or Pesha Hitter, where we say that they're saying it's totally not valid, the document, then if the Malva would grab, he would have to give it back to the Leiva. But that's what the Chiddush in the Braisa is, that if it's Yetzim Malkam Acher, then the other witnesses that are trying to say that it was they were Anusim or they were Ketanim, they're not going to be believed. But again, not believed doesn't mean that now you could collect with it. It just means to say that whoever has the money gets to hold on to it, and hence that the Malva could gain somewhat from this by grabbing that, then he gets to hold on to it. And that's why Gemara continues on this principle of that when it's Trey Labahadi Trey, then we're Uki Memoina B'chazkis Mar. As the Gemara says, Midahava Anichsi de Bar Shatya, like it was in the estate of Bar Shatya, which the name Shatya is related to the fact that sometimes he was mentally deranged, where the Bar Shatya Zavin Nichsi de Bar Shatya, he went and he, that was his name, he went and he sold some of his land. He sold from his properties. So now two people came along and they said, it's not a valid sale. He was mentally deranged when he sold it. It's not valid. But two other witnesses came and said that, no, it's not true. When he was saying he sold it. So Amr Avashi, what we do is we have two against two. And therefore, the property, which is the land in the sale, up until now, it was in the presumptive state of Bar Shatya's properties. Now someone else is claiming that he bought it from him. Yes, he bought it from him, but did you buy it when he was sane or not? We don't know. So it stays in Cheskes Mari, as we just illustrated from Rav Nachman on the previous sugya, where it stays status quo because we don't know. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies this halacha and says, V'lei Amar, and we did not say that it remains in the property of Bar Shatya. Ela de Isle, that's only if Bar Shatya has in these properties, in these lands, Chazaka de Avhose, a Chazaka, a presumptive state that it's his, inherited from his father. That in other words, it was his father's, who his father was totally sane, who therefore the family had a full-fledged Chazaka. Avalesle Chazaka de Avhose, but if let's say Bar Shatya in these lands did not have a Chazaka that it was his from his father, rather, it was his own chazaka, meaning he purchased it sometime in his life, thus making it a chazaka. He lived here 3 years. It was his. We know it because he purchased it. Then actually the halacha would be different. Aminan, then we would say, look, kishu shait azavin. When he was deranged, he bought it. Ukishu shait azavin, and therefore he was deranged when he sold it. In other words, what that means to say is that his purchase is the same as his sale. In other words, he doesn't have any chazaka, thus to be able to be mevatel the sale, because the whole thing, why we say that the sale is not necessarily the case, and whoever has it holds on to it, is based on the principle of chazaka. But he doesn't have a chazaka because we don't know how he was when he bought it either, just like we don't know how he is when he sold it. And therefore, he doesn't have a chazaka, and the halacha of uketrei lebahadretrei would not necessarily apply for it to be maintained in the estate of Barshati, because we say actually the one who bought it the same way Barshati bought it himself. Now Amr Bavo, he says that ein mazim, and this is going back on what Rav Sheshes had inferred from the previous brisa. What we just discussed now is a continuation from Rav Nachman's interpretation of the brisa, where of course you can't collect with it, but rather it's trei lebahadi trei, and ein amana means to say they're not believed to tear up the shtar. Rav Sheshes had inferred that no, that you actually could collect with it because hakrosha is tchilas azama, and just like a zama has to be in front of the person, so tchilas, so actually don't believe the second pair of witnesses. So now Rav Avoh says, actually he disagrees with Rav Sheshes. He says, yes, emazim is aiden el b'fnehem. He could only do hazama in front of the witnesses themselves, as recorded from Rashi on the top of this amud in the previous daf, that it says in the pasuk of Ahuad Bibalov, when you want to create a liability for a person, he has to be there. So the same thing is for hazama, where you're creating a liability for the person. However, you could refute a pair of witnesses, as Rav Nachman had argued on Rav Sheshes, even if they're not there, because who cares they're not here? I'm two witnesses and you're two witnesses. Why can't we refute you? Now, however, the Gemara does qualify, however, that v'hazama shalei b'fneihem, however, although we said that when there's hazama not in front of the witnesses, that nehida hazama lehavi, you're right, that will not be, quote, hazama, in other words, to penalize those witnesses, whatever they wanted to do to the person that they were saying testimony about, whether it was capital punishment or monetary punishment, so that will not apply when they're not there, because it has to be b'fneihem. But it will be at least a refutation of what they're saying to be mevatel their edus. In other words, they said regarding somebody that, oh, he owes this person $100. Now, another pair of witnesses, how can you say that? That on that day you saw that he borrowed the money, you were with us in a totally different place. So although hazam will not work if the people are not there, that they're being mazim, but it will be enough to definitely refute their testimony where hakasha does work, shalei b'fanav. So although it's coming in the context of hazama, it at least works in the sense of hakasha. Now continuing on that brisa that we had quoted on the end of the previous daf, which was what we were the different interpretations of Sheshes and Rav Nachman. So Amar the brisa said, "Im yesh edim shekhsav yadim huzeh, if there are witnesses, other witnesses, that this is their signature, oy shahoy," and this is the main point that the Gemara wants now, "oy shahoy khsav yadim yitzim mokam achar," or there's a few different ways to verify documentation. Either the witnesses themselves, who in this case doesn't apply because they're dead, or other witnesses, where in this case we're saying it wasn't just this other one that's saying they were anusim, but there were other witnesses, hence no pesha aser. Or, what we're describing here now is that their handwriting, the signature, was documented somewhere else. Where do you have that? Mishtar shakara lov irer v'huchzik bebezin. From a different document, where one time someone was coming to collect, and the debtor said, what are you talking about? He made an error. He said, this is totally a forgery. This never happened. And Bezin was Machzikid. They found either the witnesses themselves or some other way to verify this. Now, they have this on record saying that we know this signature. We know this is those people's signatures. So then the Brisa said, ain't them on them. These other people, these other witnesses who also want to agree that it's their signature, but they were anusim, but they were ketanim, they're not believed again because we don't have the principle of Pesha Asla Pesha Itter, and what's with Trey Trey? That's what we discussed from Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman. Now, but the Gemara makes the following inference. Karolov Arin, yes, the only way Bezdin will use another document to verify this document, to do what's called Kiyim Shtaris, to say that this is a valid signature because we see this signature somewhere else, and we know it's that and that person's signatures, only then will that work to document and validate from one to another. But loy karolov our loy, but if that other document that you want to use to prove this document, that we know it's obviously a signature, If that document itself was never verified because it didn't have any claims against it, then you can't use that document to verify this document. So now the Gemara says, that supports Rabasi. The Amar Rabasi, like Rabasi says, you cannot verify a document from another document, only from a different, when that other document was one time contested, and it was then later subsequently verified by its own witnesses, then we can use that document, which now we know for sure is valid, and then use those witnesses who we see the same signatures, another one, then we can verify it. Now, the reason being is because if that other document that you're trying to use to verify this document had never been contested, then we're concerned that maybe that's also forgery. How can we prove from that one to this one? And therefore, we see support for Abbasi's halacha that yes, you can only use another documentation that has the same signatures to verify this one if that itself one had been verified. But if not, maybe there's many documents that are forged, and therefore that wouldn't help without that one being a shtar shakar lav ara, and then b'chokzik b'bezin using that one now to verify this one. Now, Amin Adai, the Nadai say that ein mekaymes ashtar, you cannot verify a document, and let's say it's talking about a case where you don't have other documentation that was verified, that was karl of ara and chokzik b'bezin, so what do you do? So it's ela, you do mishtei kesubais. Let's say from two kesubais, or mishtei sadis, or let's say there's two fields that have these same witnesses that are signed on those two other documents that those two fields were sold. Now, but however, as we said before, the fact that it's signed in other documentation wouldn't prove anything because maybe many documents were forged. But additionally to that is vahush achlum balein. That is, the purchases that have those documents, eight, meaning from the properties that they bought, gimel shanim for 3 years, ubishayfi, meaning without anyone contesting their purchase in 3 years, we know is a chazaka. Then we say that the third document that has those same witnesses signed on it, if they're similar, then we could go ahead and verify from those other documents because that would be a verification. Because although those other documents weren't karal of ar and weren't huchsik, so we don't know for sure, but since we see already chazaka that there's two other types of documents that had those signatures and no one contested them, and the person was able to eat the fields 3 years, then we say that probably that's a valid testimony, and that's why the documentation is real. That's why the sale was real. And so we could go ahead and use those same documentation for our document and say that the signatures are valid by comparing the signatures, so this document will also be valid. Now, however, Omer Shim Barashi qualifies this halacha. It's only b'yetzim mitachas yad achar. It's only if those two other documents that are similar to this third document is someone else that has that document with those same witnesses. But if the same person that's procuring this third document, he's the owner of those same two other documents, which, yeah, he was able to eat for 3 years with those sales. In other words, let's say he bought from Reuven and from Shimon, and those two fields have those same two witnesses signed on it, and he was eating it for 3 years, and now he produced a third document on somebody else, let's say, with that same two witnesses, then loy. Then actually, we would not validate that document based on the circumstances of those two other documents. So the Gemara wonders, Mashna tachas yad atzma deloy, what would be the reason why, if those two other documents are his, and now he's producing a third document with the same witnesses, that wouldn't verify the validity of that third document? Because dilma ziyuf mizayif, because maybe it's a forgery, maybe. He said, look, I know these two witnesses, and people know these two witnesses, and they work, they're true, there's stories that happen with these two last people, the two sellers I bought from. But now he says, look, such a great thing, the documents are great. He says, he looks into how that they were signed, and he goes, he figures out he spends his nights drawing and forging, and he does it on a third document. So we're concerned, maybe he just went and copied it. But the question is, then mitachas yidei achar nami, then even if it's produced by two other people, dilma azla v'chaza, maybe he went and saw, and also v'zayv, he comes home and he forges. Just like you say, he could forge it when it's his own. He could go out to someone else and say, really? You bought this from someone? Show me your document. The guy shows, look, oh, really? Who signed your testimony? And he sees the two witnesses. He sees the slants and the angles, the wide the slants and the narrow ones. And he comes home and he forges it himself. The Gemara says, they're different because kuli hailoi motzi mechaven. It's not so feasible to be so precise in forgery, which requires great detail from someone that's not in front of him. meaning obviously he can't be copying when someone else is going to realize what he's doing. If it's his own, he can stay up late at night, he can do this a long time, and they can forge it, so then we're concerned. But however, when it's Yitzhak Mitachas Yachar, then we're not so concerned that he'll be able to get it so exactly, that he'll be able to forge it so great that it'll stand up under the scrutiny. And that's why if at least two other documents that are on other people's possession that they ate for 3 years for, Nardari say that would also work to validate if this signature on this document, this third one, is similar to those other two. Now continuing on this theme about written testimonials, which is what a document is with a person with a witness's signature. So the Brice, the Torah about the Gemara quotes a Brice that Kaisav Adam Edus al Ashtar. A person could write his testimony on a document. In other words, let's say someone became a witness for something and is afraid to forget it. He said, remember, you're my Edom, you're my witnesses. So he writes it down for himself. So then the halacha is Umeir Oleha. He can go ahead, he could write this down, as we said, and he could testify based on what he wrote. Even after many years, meaning because he could look in his notebook and he says, yes, I remember that I was the witness. Now, however, this machlik is exactly how to qualify this halacha. Amrav Huna, he says, v'hush zeicher me'atzmai. That's only if without looking at the document, the witness remembers at least somewhat of the testimony on his own. When he looks in, he remembers all the details, fine. But as long as he remembers the gist of it by himself, that's a requirement. He says, no, even if he doesn't remember it on his own. In other words, he only recalls once he looks in the document. Then he thinks, wait a second, oh yeah, I remember. And in other words, it's not so far gone from him, the memory. In other words, when they remind him, when he gets reminded, when he looks in, then he remembers. But however, and this is the crux of what the halacha, what they're arguing about, but if he totally doesn't recall it, just he sees in his own handwriting that this is what he saw, then actually he won't be believed. According to everybody, he cannot testify. The reason is because the Torah says, mipi, it's from the mouth, mipi ham volei mipi ksava. The testimony of a witness has to be based on his oral testimony, not his written testimony. In other words, what he wrote for himself is not valid. It has to be coming from himself. And therefore, there's this machlikus regarding how much does he have to know, but he has to recall at least something. If it's totally just from what he's reading and he has no recollection, that would not be valid for testimonial. Now, Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, Shema minam Rabbi Yechanan. Well, we can infer from Yechanan's halacha that a person doesn't have to recall, but when he sees it, he has to recall it after that at least, that Hani betrayed the Yadi Sadusa. So regarding these two witnesses, that no testimonial, Umin Sheikhad Minayin, that one of the two people forgot, so one of the witnesses could remind the other one, don't you remember that Reuben told us to remember this? Don't you remember we were there in that place at that time and everyone was wearing those funny hats? Oh, he says, oh, now I remember. That is valid because, again, as long as he recalls, that will be valid even though someone else, either his handwriting or the fellow witness, reminds him of that. Now, however, Ibailahu, the Gemara has the following question. Atzmai, what's with if the litigant himself, let's say the lender or the purchaser, he reminds the witness, he reminds him, my, what's the halacha? Would that be valid too? Where he says, don't you remember that I asked you this and I told you you better be my witness? And he's trying to recall, he says, oh yeah, would that be valid too to recall a person and to work that it's a valid testimony, or that would be different? Even if he's reminding him, it doesn't make a difference. If he recalls, who cares who's reminding him? He says, no, no, the guy himself, he's definitely going to be persuading and manipulating, and that will not be valid to remind the witness of his testimonial. Now, the halacha is, like Rav Ashi, that the litigant himself is not valid to recall, to have the witness recall the testimonial. However, as we continue our Talmud Beis, but v'itzuv mirabanhu, if the witness is a Talmud Chacham, is a Talmudic scholar, then afila atzmai, then even if the Baal himself is reminding him, it still will be valid. And the reason is because a Talmud Chacham, if not for the fact that he recalls in sincerely what exactly that this testimonial was that happened, he would not rely on this doubt and the pressure being imposed by the Baal Din. He would only do it if halachically he knows this is truth, and therefore if he ultimately does remember, then it will be valid even through the Baal Din himself. As the Gemara says, Kiyad Rav Ashi, like happened once an incident with Rav Ashi. Haviyadili b'sadus l'Rav Kahana, he knew about a certain testimonial that he had to remember for Rav Kahana. Amalei, so Rav Kana said, Travashi, Midacher Mar Hai Sadusa, do you remember that testimonial I asked you to remember to be my witness? Amalei Lion says, no, I don't remember. So Rav Kana said to him, but Vlav Hochi, Vahochi Hava, don't you remember it was like this and that? Don't you remember all the details? Amalei lay down there. Ravashi says, I'm sorry, I don't remember, I don't recall. Now Lasaif it Ravashi, ultimately Ravashi did jog his memory and he remembered. So Asalei, he went and said testimony for Rav Kahana. Now Chazal Rav Kahana Dava Machasim. So Ravashi saw Rav Kahana that he was like, he was wondering, he was, how could Ravashi have done that? Like, we know the halacha is that you can't be persuaded by the Baal Din. So Amalei Ravashi said to him, Mi Savar Alach Kosmech, did you think I'm relying on you? I'm relying on myself, and I recalled, and that's what I'm saying, testimony. That's, again, only works by a Talmudic scholar who's intellectually honest. And therefore, even through the Baal Din, we'll believe him, but a regular person will not be believed based on what he's recalling if it's through the pressure that's being imposed by the recollection of the Baal Din. Now, related to this, as we'll see at the end of this discussion, we'll come back into this a halacha of recalling testimonials. So the Gemara says, "Non hazik minuta." Within the Mishnah Masechtas Olas, the Mishnah says, "Hatlulius," which comes from the word of tail, which is mounds in the ground, where it was normative for people to bury people that had died in a mound. And the reason is because people don't generally go over a mound, so it's a safe place where it's sacred enough that people are not going to just trample the ground if it's a mound. So people would at times bury dead elements in those mounds. So regarding such tluliyos, hakroivos, if they're close, bein la'ir, bein la'derech, whether to a city or whether to a road, where the Gemara will shortly explain exactly what do we mean by city and road. So then, echad chadashis, whether the mound is a new mound. In other words, that it's not long ago that there was no mound over here, where you could say that since it's new, if a dead person had been buried there, then people would recollect. We know who died in the recent past, and no person died, and if he died, we know where he was buried. So whether the mound is new, the echad yeshanus, or whether if the mound is old, where people might not remember if someone was buried there, temeyos, these mounds will be matam at people that pass over it. And that's because of the doubt. And the reason being is because since the mound is close to the city, you could say, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that an individual woman went there and buried her stillborn, where no one knows about this, but it still has a tumas of mess, and she'll go ahead and bury it there. So since it's close to the city, so if it's old for sure, people might not recall of a dead person buried there. And even if it's recent that it's been put there, that mound, but since it's close and the woman can go ahead and bury her stillborn there, so people bury in mounds, so therefore we have to suspect that it's going to be mitame, and therefore it conveys tumah. Harachaykos, mounds that are far away, where an individual woman will not go alone and bury her stillborn there, so therefore chadosh is taharis. If it's a new mound, it will be tar, because if someone had been buried there, people would have known. Because the only case where people would not have known is a woman bearing a stillborn, and she's not going to go so far. However, Yishan is Timaeus. However, if it's an old mound, then it will convey to him. And the reason is because maybe people have already forgotten that someone was buried there, and just people don't recall anymore. Now, the Mishnah there has a machlekes about, so what are the definitions exactly? Ezuhi kareva, what is considered close to the city that we say that even if it's new, and that people should know, it still will convey to him. Because again, a woman could go on their own that no one knows about. So the Tanakhama says, Chamisha Mama, if it's within 50 amas of the city, that's considered close. Ve'ezhi Yishana, what's considered an old mound, where we say that even if it's far, where an individual woman's not going, it will convey tuma, because again, people will not recall of even a regular mess being buried there. That is Shishim Shana, that's 60 years. Divrei Meir, that's opinion of a Meir. Behudaim, he gives different definitions. He says, Kreva, what does it mean a mound close to the city? Is she'in kreva hemena, that there is no other closer mound than that mound. But if there's a closer one than that mound, so even if this mound is within 50 amas, it will still be considered as a far mound. And therefore, if it's new, it will be tar. And the reason is as we said, the whole reason of a new one, which should not be a problem, that it would be a problem if it's close, is because a woman would go ahead and bury her stillborn there. If it would be true that a woman buried a stillborn there, she would not have left the closer mound and gone to the further one. So even though it's close within 50 amas, but if there's a closer one, we don't consider that close to transmit tumah. Now, what's Yashana? What's considered an old mound? That's She'ein Odom Zaycher, where no one recollects. In other words, there's no one that is still around today that can say, I remember that there was a time that there was no mound over here, and that in my days there was a mound, because possibly then he would recall. If no one recalls, that's considered old, and then that will go ahead and have the status of an old one, where then even if it's far, again, it will convey tumah. Now the Gemara wonders, as we alluded to this before, my ear or my derech. What does it mean when we say that if this mound is close to a city or close to a road? Elim ear mamish. If when you say it's close to a city, it means a regular city. Derech mamish. When we say a path, it means any path. Mesveka mi mechaskino tumah. Out of doubt that maybe someone was buried here, whether an old one or a new one, with a woman, a stillborn, would we go ahead and presuppose and have an established halacha of tumah from this mount because of doubt? But V'amr Shlokesh, Shlokesh says, Ila Matsu, that so to speak, the chachamim, the sages found an excuse, and based on that excuse, they established a chazaka to rely on that, and V'tiaru Eretz Yisrael, and they purified the land of Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Noz in the last parag. But one thing we see from that halacha is that, out of doubt, we do not establish tumah in the land of Eretz Yisrael. To the contrary, we find all excuses to make it tar. So how over here, if we just find a random mound near a city and near a path, we'll say that depending on the situation, we're going to make it tame? So Amrav Zeri says, no, when we said ir, it means ir hasmuch l'beis ha-kfaras. A city means a city close to a cemetery. The derech and the path means derech beis ha-kfaras, a path on the way to a cemetery. So the Gemara still wonders. We understand that on the path to a cemetery, it makes sense why we should suspect, out of doubt at least, to say that it's going to be mitame. Because the zimnan, the misrami ben hashmash, sometimes it happens that it's twilight, it's getting ben hashmashes for Erev Shabbos, and there's not enough time for the people that are trying to bury the dead to get to the cemetery before it turns nighttime. So mikra kavur batel. So it happens that if there's a mound on the way in this path going to the cemetery, they can't get there in time. So they figure if it's a close enough path or it's old enough that we don't recall that someone had buried in that mound. Eliras mukhla beisakvaras, but a city near a cemetery, kulul beisakvaras azli, everybody goes to the cemetery. Why is there a reason to believe that a tell, a mound near a city that's close to a cemetery? Yes, so you're near a cemetery, so there's more reason to be cheshish. But if they have one, they're going to go all the way to the cemetery. So Amr B'chanina says, no, mitech shanoshim kai v'sham neflein. Since the women bury their stillborns in the mounds, u'mukishchin zeroiseyan, and those that are full of boils, and they go ahead, their limbs fall off, or they cut them off due to their illness, so they go ahead and bury their limbs in these piles. Now, actually, an aver min achai, a limb from a living person, transmits tumah just like a limb from a dead person, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Chulin. Now, ad chamishim amah, up until 50 amas, another, if this mound is within 50 amas of the city, az le'ihi l'chuda, so then she or the mokeshchin go by themselves to that mound, and therefore we're concerned if it's close to the city, maybe they went and buried their stillborns in those mounds. Again, we wouldn't suspect that in a regular city. But a city next to a cemetery, which again, there is more chashashis of dead elements over here. So then, if it's close, within 50 amas, the tell, the woman's going to go to the tell and bury herself. Tfei, but if it's further than 50 amas, then dabri inish bada, she's going to take a man with her. She's not going to go that far out of the city limits by herself. Well, look, basic kavaras azan, therefore she's going to go to the cemetery. Hilkach tumah beretz Yisrael lemechaskin, and therefore there's never a reason to establish tumah in Eretz Yisrael, as we said. A regular sea and a regular road, we would generally not be machzik tumah. Here we're talking about that it's a path on the way to the cemetery. And similarly, and to keep that parallel, we say that it's a city next to a basic kfaras. But the main idea of that is because, yes, more than 50 amas, they're going to go to the cemetery. But if it's within 50 amas, which the halach of kreves, then women would go ahead and bury their stillborns, and therefore there's reason to suspect in those situations that there will be a mess in that tale. Now that's the Mishnah Masechtas Alos. Now, Amar Rav Chisda, this is what's related to our sugya, Shmamino Rav Meir, what we understand from Rav Meir, that he said, that what's considered an old city, what's considered an old mound is one that's been around for 60 years. And the reason we said is because then people are not going to recall. That is because it's so long ago. And therefore, even though it's far away, we'll say that even though women can bear their stillborns and therefore all other types we should know, people don't recall. So therefore, you could conclude that Hayas Adusa regarding a testimony of that witnesses have, Atshitin Shnin Mitker, they only recall up until 60 years. Tfei Loi Mitker, you see that more than that, people don't recall. And that's why the halacha is by the mound, that if it's over 60 years, people just don't remember. So if you were a witness when you were 20 years old, now you're 90. So we don't believe you what you're saying, because people don't remember after 60 years. To which the Gemara says, V'lohi. Actually, halacha is not like that. And the reason is because Hasam over there by the mound where we have the suspicion, if there's a kever there, if someone was buried there, who delay Ramula? The reason why we say that after 60 years people don't recall is because no one had the responsibility. No one was a witness to be the one that remembers it. And therefore, yes, although people generally remember regular things, after 60 years you're not going to remember phenomena that it wasn't incumbent upon you to know. But over here where he was made a witness, Kivin the Ramila, since it's imposed upon him, I feel it to have anami, then even more than 60 years, we can rely on his testimony. If he says testimony, even though he's 90 and he's testifying about something that happened 70 years ago, he would be believed because something that is Ramile, a person remembers. Now the Gemara continues. The next Mishnah, again, continuing in the theme of the previous Mishnahs of Kiyum Shtaris, about verifying the signatures that are in a document. So the Mishnah says, Ze'im ezek ksav yodif. Let's say one witness says, this is my signature. Ve'zek ksav yodif shachaveri. And this other signature is also the signature of my friend who we signed together on the document. The Zerim and the other witness says, Zek Savyadi, this one is my own signature. Zek Savyadi Shachaveh, and this is the signature of my friend. So then the halacha is Hare Ilu Neman. So they're both believed, and the reason is because you have two witnesses testifying regarding each signature that it's a valid signature. But let's say Zerim Zek Savyadi, but let's say one witness says, this is my signature. Zerim Zek Savyadi, and the other one says, this is my signature, but each one only testifies regarding his own. I don't remember who the other witness was. I don't know this is yours. I know this is mine. And he says he knows this is his. Then Srichin Latsar Imam Acha, then you actually have to join another person that recognizes both signatures. And the reason is because we need two witnesses to verify each and every one's signature. As the Gemara will explain the reasoning for that, that's Divi Rebbe. The Chachamim, they argue, they say no. They don't have to have anyone else join with them. Rather, a witness is believed to say, this is my signature. And therefore, since he's believed to verify his signature, and he's believed to verify his signature, and therefore we have two verified signatures on the document, so we have two kosher, valid signatures, and therefore the document will be kosher. We know, and the Chacham say, not like Rebbe, who said that no, each signature needs to be verified by two different witnesses, as any halacha of verification needs to have through two witnesses. So to each signature, we need to have two witnesses, and therefore it wouldn't be enough for each one to verify their own. They either need to verify their own and the other one, so that each one's having two, or at least have someone else that recognizes each one of those two individual signatures of the witnesses.